Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there. It's good to have you with me on this Wednesday, and we are learning some very important truths. I hope you've been with me on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Today, we're going to continue in the series, The Way Up is Down, in which Derek is teaching us about the invisible laws of the kingdom of God, about those invisible truths that determine our lives. I'll tell you, this is really exciting stuff. It's easy to understand. It's just hard to do. It's hard to humble yourself so you'll be exalted. It's hard to give so that you can receive in return. It's like dribbling with our left hand if we're right-handed. It's learning a new way of thinking. And that's what Derek's teaching us, because that's what the Word of God reveals. This is the key now. He spent a great deal of time talking to us about pride and humility, because it's that pride that gets in the way of what God wants to do. Let's get our Bibles, let's get something to take notes with, and let's listen now as Derek teaches us about how the way up is down.
It's the first time in the Bible, in this passage, that the word Jehovah or Yahweh is used. All through the first chapter of Genesis, the word is simply Elohim, the word for God. But Jehovah or Yahweh, or whatever way we choose to pronounce the word, is a personal name identifying God as a person. Likewise, Adam is a personal name, not just a general noun. So at this point in the record of creation, the emphasis is on personality. A personal God created a personal man for personal fellowship between them. Then notice some other points out of this description. God had to stoop to create man. He went down, not up. God imparted himself to man. He breathed his own spirit into that body of clay. Man combines in himself the highest and the lowest. One element is from God, the other's from the earth. That perhaps will help you understand some of the struggles you go through, because there's two elements in you. One is from above, one is from beneath. And I'm sure I'm not the only person here in whom those elements sometimes come into conflict. And one part of me wants the thing that belongs to the above, and the other part of me wants the thing that comes from below. You see, one of the features of the record of creation in the Bible is it explains what we're like, why the things happen that happen in our lives. It's got an answer. And I don't believe any other alternative version supplies the answers. The other fact that I want to point out is that man relates to two worlds. Through his spirit, he relates to God. Through his body, he relates to this one. Let me just recapitulate those features. First of all, it was a personal God who created a personal man for personal fellowship between them. Secondly, God stooped to create man. Thirdly, God imparted himself to man. Fourthly, man combines in himself both the highest and the lowest. And fifthly, through his spirit, man relates to God. Through his body, man relates to the world. Concerning the relationship that was brought into being between God and man through creation, I would say there are two key thoughts. The one I've already mentioned is fellowship. The second is implied in what I've said, dependence. The very word nephesh implies dependence, something that has to receive before it can give out. I believe it's true that when a baby is born into the world, the same thing still happens. In other words, somebody has to start the breathing operating. That's in a sense, it takes us right back to the truth of creation. What was God's purpose for man? It's stated very simply in Genesis 1:26. Before the actual description of creation takes place, the purpose is given. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them," that's the human race, not just one man, "let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the earth. So there are two features of man in God's purpose. First of all, he was to visibly represent God in a way that no other creature did. He was to portray the likeness of the Creator. Secondly, he was to exercise God's authority on his behalf, authority over the whole earth. Now, so long as man remained dependent, he ruled. That's a paradox. See, today in most people's thinking, the concept of ruling is being independent. But in God's eternal provision, to rule, the man had to remain dependent. The moment he ceased to be dependent, he ceased to rule. Now, Satan had a special enmity. Remember that his name Satan was not his original name. He was originally Lucifer, the light bringer. But when he transgressed, he lost that identity and he became Satan. The word Satan means the adversary, the resister, the opposer. Understand, he's the one who unfailingly opposes God's purposes and God's people. That's why he's our enemy as well. Now, he had enmity against man for two special reasons. Out of all the creatures that God had created, man was number one target for his enmity for two reasons. First of all, man carried in himself the image of God. Satan couldn't attack God, but he could attack the image of God in man. I saw a very vivid thing happen many years ago. I was with a young lady who was a Christian, but not perhaps as spiritual as she ought to have been. And she had been engaged to a young man who jilted her. And she carried around with her a photograph of this young man. Well, when she got the news that he had jilted her, she took his photograph and tore it up. She vented her ill feeling against the man on his image. And that's a little picture of one of the reasons why Satan hates us. Because we carry the image of God. He can't attack God, but he can take that image of God in man, defile it, stamp upon it, and shake his fist at God. And when you see somebody that's marred and deformed by the results of sin, an alcoholic or somebody that's somehow lost human dignity, bear in mind that's Satan's work. He's wreaking his enmity against God on that creature.
What a beautiful truth that in order to create man, God stooped, humbling himself in a sense, to create his creature, to create his man, his ruler, the one he would give dominion in the earth. Even in making his servant, even in making man, God showed his nature of humility, his nature of deferring to his creature. What a beautiful truth. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us. We're in a wonderful series on the laws of the kingdom, on the way that in the kingdom of God, the way up is actually down, that the laws are often inverse of what we experience in this world. And Derek is teaching us a great deal about the nature of Satan, because that's what our souls gravitate towards in their unredeemed state. Derek's trying to teach us that we can cut off that nature and walk in something better. Let's listen.
The second reason, I believe, for Satan's enmity against man was that man is destined to take the place from which Satan fell. So he's, in a sense, his rival. Now, Satan, as we know, produced man's downfall through his cunning. We just look briefly at the record, I'm not going to dwell on it, in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, the serpent, and we discover that the serpent was the embodiment of Satan, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Bear in mind, the main feature of Satan's character, which is always emphasized in the Bible, is his craftiness. And his primary activity is to deceive. He said to the woman, and notice he went to the weaker vessel and bypassed God's chain of authority. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. We don't need to read the rest. I want you to see three features of Satan's approach against man, primarily against the woman, Eve. The first thing he did was to question God's word. He said, did God really say? And I believe Eve lost the battle the moment she entertained that question. And I want to warn you that his tactics have not changed. And in many, many sections of the church, you will be confronted by people who say, did God really say? And if you entertain that, you're in the same dangerous position that Eve was. You cannot afford to entertain the questioning of God's word. Secondly, he questioned God's goodness. He said, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. What's the implication? The implication is that God is an unjust, arbitrary despot who is keeping his creatures in subjection which was lower than what they should have been. So Satan's first aim was to discredit God's word. The second was to discredit God's goodness. And he's still the same. What was his temptation? What was the bait he offered? Exactly the same motivation that had caused his own fall. He said, you will be like God. You'll be equal with God. He had said, who knows how long or how short a while previously, I will be like the Most High. Now he says, you will be like God. In other words, it's the same motivation. And it worked, alas. So man fell through the temptation of Satan. The same deception, the same motivation that caused Satan's downfall caused man's downfall. Let me point out to you seven results of Adam's fall. Not going into them in any detail. First, Adam's direct fellowship with God was broken. Second, Adam's life source was cut off. He was like a battery that would never be recharged. There was a tremendous amount of divine life in him, but it had to run down ultimately. Third, Adam became subject to corruption. That is, sickness, old age, wrinkles, stiff joints, a lot of other things we don't like to think about. Fourthly, Adam became subject to satanic harassment. I believe from then on, he was the object of demon activity. Fifthly, Adam became a slave instead of a king. He could have been a king if he'd remained dependent. He chose independence and became a slave. Isn't that so true of so many people that we meet today? Especially, I think, people in their teens. The attitude is, I don't want to have to obey anybody. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll be independent. And what do you become? a slave. That's right. Some of you awakened to that fact and repented. I'm sure you're glad you did. The sixth fact, Adam's realm became subject to vanity. That's the King James Version. Other versions say futility. This is again another example of the frightening effects of the misuse of authority. Exactly as when Lucifer rebelled, a third of the angels fell with him and were involved in his guilt, in exactly the same principle. When Adam fell, the entire earth felt the consequences of his disobedience. Thorns and thistles appeared where they'd never been before. And everything that's hard and unpleasant and causes strain and demands labor and produces frustration came into this earth through the disobedience of its head, Adam. Seventhly, Adam became identified with Satan in the guilt of rebellion. He became a rebel like Satan. This is a vital fact because it took the wisdom of God to find a solution.
We certainly have to be careful to avoid the questioning that Lucifer did of God's basic character and nature. The Bible says, and Derek has taught us, that Lucifer questioned God's word, questioned his goodness, and questioned his motivation. Boy, that's what the human heart wants to do. But we can have confidence in all three of those based on God's word. There's so much more to come. And the executive producer of our show, Christopher Selby, is going to be with us as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted that you're here today. Joining me in the studio today is Christopher Selby, the executive producer of our show, also grandson of Derek Prince. Christopher always comes with some great reports of what's happening out there and some great processing of God's Word. Christopher, great to have you here.
Thanks, Stephen.
Tell me what the people are saying. What are you hearing from people about the show and reports about the great impact of the Word on their lives?
Really, really good stuff. We received an email. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It says, "Dear friends, I am so glad to inform you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is available on the internet in Bulgaria. Maybe you know this, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to listen to the radio online. I have read many books written by Derek Prince, and I'm so happy to be taught by the strong man of God. God bless you."
Oh, that's powerful.
That's pretty neat, you know, the power of technology and what we can do. Not only through radio, but using the internet as well, folks in Bulgaria.
Exactly. I forget that what's on the internet, you know, it's sort of like we put it on the internet, and I think it's just available to my neighborhood or something, but it's available to the whole world. And that's the greatness of, you know, DerekPrince.org is that it goes everywhere.
Yeah, it's a great hub, a resource, just a headquarters, so to speak, for great resources on Bible teaching material and what the Lord poured through my grandfather over so many years.
That's fantastic. You got some more there for us.
Yeah, this one was very cool. This was I won't share her name, but she's a doctor in Vermont, and she sends an email in and says, "Hello to the Derek Prince team. I had discovered the great teachings of Derek Prince via a local Christian radio station. I was immediately fascinated with his teachings about our God. Derek has a unique perspective, at least from all the speakers I've heard. As I continue my work, I've been accosted at times by persons clearly identifying themselves as Satanists. I would not have known exactly what to do, nor would I have felt secure in handling these situations if I had not listened to the many teachings of Derek Prince on spiritual warfare and similar topics. Derek Prince is one of my favorite teachers. He knows the material and he knows how to teach. He presents information in a very systematic and a very interesting and memorable manner. These teachings are undeniably led by the Spirit. The whole world needs to hear Derek Prince.
You know what I love about that is that it's the way the Word of God has so many applications, because you and I both know that Derek, we have not done a program of Derek's that's about handling Satanists.
Right, right.
That's just not part of the repertoire. But in him teaching about the theology of Satan and the nature of spiritual things, people then are equipped to do what they need to do in their daily lives. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, the practical application and maybe, you know, In our lives, we may never encounter Satanists where we have to do, you know, have to apply those truths. But there are many situations where that are unique to each of our lives, where applying the truth of God's word is the exact solution. And you know, it's those practical applications that my grandfather was always sure to include in his teaching. It wasn't just doctrine or theology; it's practical application. He very often said, "I would be negligent if I did not give you a practical application to this teaching that we've just gone through." And that's what that is.
Well, what's exciting to me is that he was so practical in his teaching, and yet now, through the use of technology, we can bring that practicality, that great body of teaching, into people's daily lives in a way undreamt of before. I mean, literally with a little iPod Nano, you know, which weighs has about the weight of a pencil, you can be walking around listening to the Word of God being taught while you go through your daily life. You can listen to it on a computer. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, in Derek's day, of course, there were cassettes and 8-tracks and that kind of thing. I don't think he could have dreamed of the way that technology would be extended into lives now. And when you merge that with the practicality of his teaching, it's just a great opportunity to grow.
Exactly. We've looked back over the history of Derek Prince Ministries and looked back to what we call the cassette revolution of the 70s, and how, you know, putting you know, my grandfather's teachings on cassettes, they were able to, you know, spread throughout the country and literally spread throughout the world. I know that you are familiar. You share the story in the biography you wrote of my grandfather about the church in Hungary that was started by one single cassette, and now it's a church of tens of thousands of people.
Oh, yes.
And one of the largest and most thriving churches in all of Europe. Well, I think someday we'll look back on the history of Derek Prince Ministries and this new technology that's become available in the last decade and see what impact it will have over the years.
And you know, Christopher, we're not sharing this because we want to raise funds. However, I have no problem saying to people that this ministry is really fertile soil for support and for financial giving. You know, we really are trying to take Derek Prince's legacy and extend it into this generation in a fresh way. We've achieved many of our goals, but we want to go much, much further. We want the broadcast to be in cities that it's not in right now. We wanted to get it into other nations. And I've always been sort of blunt and upfront about fundraising. You know, the reality is we want to do the will of God. There are people out there who want to partner with us. And so I want to say to those of you listening, go onto the website at derekprince.org. You'll find out great ways to support. You know, we're going to move this broadcast into cities, and hopefully people who already live there will be willing to band together and support it so that that's possible. I mean, there's a great way that we can financially fund this army of the Word of God that's going forward. And I'm just thrilled that we're getting feedback like this already, when we have so many great plans and dreams yet unfulfilled. So for those of you out there who want to partner with us to accomplish those things, go onto the website again, derekprince.org.
Absolutely.
Christopher, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Stephen.
All right. Listen, that's all the time we have for today, but a lot of wonderful things coming this week, so don't miss it. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.